Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Therapy sucks, or so you thought. I know it could be a little bit awkward having to make the appointment, having to go visit someone, sit down, take time out of your day. And as busy as we all are, I can understand it seems like impossible to do so. Fortunately for us at The Coffee Breakup, we're sponsored by BetterHelp. And with BetterHelp, you literally have access to a therapist at your fingertips. Coolest thing about them, literally, you sign up, create a profile, they'll match you with a therapist that's pretty much going to be with exactly what you're looking for. So how important is it with mental health? I mean, we got stressed throughout the day, whether it's work, life, your partner, whatever it may be. BetterHelp, you're able to have access to actually talk to someone about your problems that can really guide you in the right direction. I don't know about you, that's pretty important if you want to actually have like a normal life or anything, just saying. Coolest thing about us, you know, it is 10% off for all of the Coffee Breakup listeners for your first month. So sign up now at betterhelp.com/thecoffeebreakup. Again, that's 10% off for your first entire month. Literally no excuse. Check out for your mental health today. Later.
Have you ever watched those, what is it called, Black Mirror? There's an episode. There was one that was like, the girl was living her life. And then within like a couple of minutes later or 30 minutes, an hour later, that her life was a Netflix video. It's like, oh, we're talking right now and then we go on Netflix in an hour and you see us talking. And yeah. You see like three people talking about everything that we said.
Yeah.
So it's like that could be it.
I think that's the one that I started watching.
Yeah.
And then I was tripped the fuck out and then I got distracted, whatever. But Salma Hayek was.
Yeah. Yep.
I was watching that.
Yeah.
Why did you guys break up the second time? Or like that last time?
The version that I got is from what she told me, it was like more or less of the same song and dance that she gave me the time before. Wow. We broke up a week after being engaged.
What?
What?
Yeah, a week after we got in, also on my birthday weekend.
Wait. I don't understand. Okay. So, welcome to the episode of The Coffee Breakup, starring Marvin Schultz and myself, Christian Vieira. Wow, yeah, best podcast in the world. We have Sergio. Sergio Talks, I guess, is how this guy started off, right? This is how you popped off.
Yeah,
Sergio
pretty much. Talks. I just kept the name.
Okay. I like that. That's a good name.
Yeah.
You've been telling us a little bit about the podcast, how it kind of started, and kind of where you are now in the terms of like the game that you're in and trying to get out of the podcasting, but you've been doing it for what, 3-4 years? This is your fourth year now, right?
The podcast itself, it's only been a year.
Yeah, only been a year.
Fresh. Yeah.
But your social media presence, I guess.
Social media presence been, yeah, I'm in my fourth year now.
Okay.
Yeah, but then an opportunity came up. My friend was contacted by this marketing agency that also have a podcast studio, and they're like, hey, like, you know, if you guys want to use our studio, like, come use it.
Oh, cool.
Shout us out and we'll do it like that. And at that point, like, I had my platform and I wanted to see how else I could diversify.
Ooh,
yeah. I was like, okay, maybe we'll start the podcast. So at first I started with me and then my two other co-hosts, they came off the Love Island TV show, but like the Canadian version. Yeah. So we started that way, just us three. They were only supposed to be like featuring, like every now and then. I was supposed to have guests
like
on
a special,
and whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a guest.
Yeah, 100%.
So this was gonna be you.
This was gonna be me. That's why it's still like under the Sergio Talks podcast umbrella.
Interesting.
So that's how it started. But then like moving forward, they became like a permanent part of the set, mm-hmm. right? And now, because people got to love us and want to know more about us, there's only so much that you could kind of like show and talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
So now we want to kind of go outside of that and maybe like allow people into our life a little bit, you know, like maybe start doing like the whole vlogging and bigger bigger budget content videos and stuff, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, like, having a podcast is having a business.
Yeah.
So you have to be on top of it. You have to figure out like what's next, what else can we do, et cetera, et cetera. So it just makes sense for us to take the next step, which is to produce bigger kind of content.
Beautiful. So before we continue, those who don't know you, can you give us a background of who you are and how it is that you kind of created, I guess, this persona? Because for those of you who don't know, I found this guy. He was recording selfies in his car. Not in the cringe. Well, actually, maybe some kind people of. Would say cringe.
Some people would call it that.
Look at this fucking loser. I'm sure you had a bunch of comments. They're like, this fucking try hard motherfucker. But I think it was really relatable because especially in our kind of niche of relationships, like that's how I found you. And I'm like, damn, one day I would like to, you know, I was picking your brain, kind of getting your information, kind of using that on the podcast, to be honest with you. But you were really putting out a lot of content about breakups, recovering, and kind of, you know, a little bit of that. So navigate us through kind of how that all started, I guess, a little bit of background on you and what's happening today.
Yeah, I mean, that was not my last relationship. My relationship before that was coming out of a 7-year relationship. It was a 6-year relationship at that time. We got back together and then we broke up like a year after that. But I had already started TikToking for that year. So to speak, once I started doing the TikToks, she came back.
Started blowing up like, dang. Maybe I should give
it a chance. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was like that was like the kind of validation, right, that I needed, so to speak. Because it was after that breakup and then we stayed together for a year and then it broke up after that. But that's how I kind of started. It was very like sad boy TikTok, you know, I was doing stuff like that. And people related to it a lot, you know. There was a lot of people that actually wasn't, I could probably count on my fingers like the amount of times that I read like a hate comment.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we get some fucking comments all the time of some bullshit people.
Yeah, but it's like maybe about the message sometimes. But overall, like, I think I would say overwhelmingly we get really good.
Yeah.
Good feedback from people.
Yeah, 100%. But also the thing about podcasting too is that like you take like an hour and then you chop it into snippets, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, people are only going to judge you off of what you said in that 1 minute without the other kind of context.
I hate when they do that. And it's like, oh, you should talk about this? Bitch, we did. Watch the video. That's what I'm saying. They're like, click the video and you'll find out.
You know, yeah, 100%. For sure. Yeah, but, like, me, like, with the whole, like, selfie, like, dynamic, it was, like, 15 seconds long. And, like, there was no other context that you needed because everything was being said in that one moment, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very, like, they're open-ended quotes and stuff like that, right? So it's left to like perception and whatnot.
Right.
So that's why it was, I don't think that there was a lot of hate, because like I didn't really say anything that you could necessarily disagree to.
So I also believe that you probably helped out a lot of people. I mean, were you getting some feedback of people writing to you like, oh my God, hey, thanks?
Yeah, well, that's how I sustained like as a content creator, because before what happened is that, you know, as the content was blowing up, people were writing me into the DMs, right? And then at first it's like, yeah, fine, like I could answer to a few of them, right? But like when it started getting like overwhelming, when it was like hundreds of DMs a day, then it's like, I was like, fuck, okay, this is too much. But I was like, I've always been like, I always had like an entrepreneurial spirit. I always wanted to be a business owner in some way. So I was like, okay, like how can I capitalize now? Because us in Canada, by the way, we make no money off of TikTok.
Because there's no creator fund.
Yeah, so I was getting all these, you know, millions of views, but without getting a paycheck. So I was like, okay, how could I utilize the following that I'm getting and make it into a business?
Yeah.
So I do what anybody does. I become a life coach.
Okay.
But I told everybody straight up, like anytime like anybody would book an appointment, I would always say like, I'm not a certified life coach.
Disclaimer.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I would have to, you know, because imagine, right? Yeah. So I would always say, I would always start off like that. And I didn't want to go that extra step and get certified because, again, I didn't want to turn it into like a job.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So what I did is that at first, in that year, like at the during our breakup, I also had lost my job at the same time. And so we have like unemployment insurance. So basically I had a year where I could like look for another job and whatnot. In that year, I was coming up to my 1 year mark, right? I had like maybe like 2 months left to find a job or to figure something out, right? And I was still doing all the TikTok stuff without making a penny. And at the end of it, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me just become, I could cuss?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
okay. So I was like, fuck it. Let me see what I could do with it. And then I started just taking people on like for appointments, but I was scratching for every single dollar. Like if somebody wanted to talk to me for an hour for $5, I was doing it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, because it stacks up. You know, if I have 10 people giving me $5, whatever, it could be like $5 here. But it could go anywhere from like $5 to like $100.
That's the grind, dude.
But you know? You also didn't work, so it's like, and you had time. I mean, realistically, exactly. You'll fuck anything.
100%. And I was doing that, and then I was doing like webinars and whatnot. I was just trying to do like whatever I could. So I was trying to create like a community kind of like environment, right? Yeah. And my strategy was like selling straight to the consumer. I would go on TikTok Live and be like, hey, if you guys want to learn more about breakups or how to like overcome your breakup, you guys could click the link in my bio. You guys can book a session or like participate to the webinar. And that's how I did it for about like a year and a half or so. And then merch came out, and then like a whole bunch of things like encompassed it in that, you know.
Look at this fucking guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty great, dude. Yeah. For all you fucking losers out there. But all you people out there that are wondering, yo, how the fuck are we going to actually go out there and like try something or all these things where I'm worried about what they're going to say. It's like, who gives a fuck?
No, dude, just do it.
Just fucking go out there and do it.
Like, to give you an idea, like numbers wise, like I think I was getting, I think it was $1,000 every 2 weeks. So two grand a month. So that's $24,000 that I was doing off of EI.
But this is Canadian dollars, right?
This is Canadian dollars, right? So this is like unemployment insurance, right? So this is what I was making. So in that year, I made $24,000, and the year after that, it jumped like straight into six figures. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's between like merch and webinars and life coaching, because then after that, like it attracted like a bigger audience, and then I got like the, what do you call it, like people were starting to see me and like word of mouth, and then there was wealthier clients that would come on, right, and they'd be willing to pay me for like a month straight or for the entire year. And sometimes I would just be on call. They'd be like, yo, I need to talk to you. And I'd be like, okay, like a top on a call.
Right.
But merch was also really, really, really big too.
Really?
Yeah. We did a fundraiser too at one point, and we had raised like $16,000, something like that.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. And we gave it away like for, we had gotten like clothes, gifts for kids and stuff like that. But it's the people, man. The people that the people are who like,
Who make it happen?
That fund us literally, and also just give us a reason to continue doing what we're doing. You know,
yeah,
that's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, it's, I mean, sounds like you're on the right track. You know, like you obviously you monetize in a way where clearly you were in a bad position, and it was kind of like, yo, either I figure this out or I'm screwed.
Yeah,
you know, you had like a deadline, and sometimes under that pressure, you fucking you make things happen. You know, so. Kudos to you.
Thank you.
So what happened to you, bro? What happened with your breakup that you said, you know what, I want to start posting stuff?
It was me. I was not the ideal partner. I'm realizing it more and more now, like as I'm seeing like other content creators talk about it. Like let's say for example, like Andrew Tate or stuff like that. Like it's at one point I saw a video of him saying like the reason why she left you is your fault. And then when I kind of like self-reflected, I was like, you know what? Like, so to speak, yeah, because at that time,
to some degree, right? Like,
yeah, but also, like, when I look back at it, like, it's true because at that time, I didn't have a lot going for myself. I was comfortable, you know, I wasn't taking care of myself necessarily mentally, physically, especially, and things in that regard, right? So I was comfortable and I was settling also. Like, the relationship also wasn't like the healthiest relationship either, right? But I was content, or at least I thought I was, right? So I settled for that, you know?
Who initiated the breakup?
She did. I'm not the breakup type.
Okay.
You were just holding on.
Yeah, I was holding on, and then you try to,
he was
like,
comfortable. He didn't really find the need to break up. I'm cool.
Yeah, and I had a job, and I also like, especially like in that relationship, the first 4 years I was working at Best Buy.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So I did like 4 years at Best Buy, 1 year in like a credit rebuilding company, and then after that like they fired me, and then like everything started. So like it's kind of like all happened like fairly quick after that breakup.
And what was the reason she broke up with you? Did she give you like an actual reason or?
I don't think that she really knew. Like it just like the vibes changed.
She's this doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
this isn't
like
going.
The thrill isn't there. It's not what I want anymore. Like okay. I don't feel like I feel the same way about you and things in that regard, right? But that's what I'm saying. Like looking back at it, like after like having like self-reflected, in my mind, looking back at like older version of me, I get it. I wouldn't want to be with myself either back then.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
You would have broken up with yourself too.
Oh, 1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%. Yeah, like I'm a good guy. Like, don't get me wrong. I was like super nice and stuff like that. But like for me, at least as a person, as the kind of person that I want to be, like who I am now versus who I was before, I take this guy 10 times fold.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
So that's why I understand, like, especially like women now, like they want to have like a guy that has something going for himself. Right. You know what I mean?
So if you don't have anything going for yourself, you feel like shouldn't really be dating, or in that case, that's kind of what happened. You didn't have anything going for yourself. She was like, yo, I'm out.
Yeah. Right? That's pretty much it. But I don't think she knew that that's what it was.
She didn't know. But no. If you would ask her today, maybe she would. If she was honest with herself.
No, but yeah, she probably just didn't know. Like, I don't think she knew at all. She just felt like, yo, this isn't doing anything for me. Like, I don't really feel anything for you anymore.
Yeah.
When this guy was just not the guy who he wanted to be. He was just happy. He was just chilling with who he was.
Yeah.
But again, you realize, like, but what am I really doing? Like, why would somebody want to be with me?
But also, yeah. But if she wouldn't have left, you wouldn't be here.
So?
No, yeah, of course I wouldn't be here for sure.
Really?
I don't think so.
I think the average guy, are like they're just willing to settle. Like it's like if you're with a good girl, right, and the relationship is good and you guys are going like the casual route, like you want like the white picket fence kind of fairy tale thing, like that to me is great. Like you could do that, don't get me wrong, right? But there's other men out there that want more for themselves, right? And some people are willing to put in the work and others are not, right? I mean, like now, if you look at it, like the majority of guys, like they're stuck at home still, you know, living with their parents, playing video games. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that I just feel like naturally you would want to be something like more. You'd want to distinguish yourself, you know, because we're constantly in competition with one another, in like the realm of men.
To a certain degree, yeah.
Well, like we always like if you meet like a guy for the first time, there's always that like little bit of thought of like. Like, is he better than me or I'm better than this guy?
Maybe instinctual, like, that's kind of part of us. A small piece.
Yeah.
I think when you meet someone else, you want to, like, measure where you're at.
You size him up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even maybe subconsciously.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, this guy has this, so where do I land?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I be better? You know, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Am I good enough, maybe, you think?
Exactly. So there's no bad intentions, right? It's just, like, it's just there for, like, a fraction of a second. And then you guys might be cool afterwards. You don't know, right? But I just feel like guys are always kind of like more or less sizing each other up in that regards, you know, or also like we're also constantly comparing ourselves to other men that are more like successful than we are and stuff in that regards. So, right. Yeah, but I'm saying like that's a very like particular group of men that do that. Some guys don't give a fuck. Some guys don't. They don't care about that. They're cool with the lifestyle that they have, you know. But at least for me, from what I've understood, like the guys that are a little bit more like entrepreneurial are a little bit more like. Driven to want to become an entrepreneur, they have that extra like drive to want to be better than everybody else, and like that's where that competition comes in, you know, like especially like in the gym too, like the guy that's bigger than you or you feel like you're smaller than everybody else, right? And that's why a lot of guys don't also want to go to the gym because they feel like they don't have like the confidence to go in there to feel like they know what they're doing and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what I'm just saying, there's like that unspoken competition amongst men that's kind of always kind of been around. And I personally, I do have that, right? So I'm always trying to be, like, better than everybody else.
Okay.
But not from, like, an ill intent perspective, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like you want to make sure... I feel like, not that you want to be better than everybody else, but you just want to make sure that... I think that you can just hang with just about anybody. In a sense, like, okay, you know what? I could be the nicest person to the guy who's got nobody, but I still want to be able to hang out with the guy who's got the private jet and still kind of, like... vibe with that motherfucker.
Yeah, and that's true. I just think like for me, just because like I have like a sports background, I've always been into sports and whatnot. So like that competitive side of me is always, I'll say I want to be better than everybody else, but that's only just so I could get like the right amount of drive to perform good.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
If I don't
become better than them, like I'm totally cool with that. It's just like the kind of mindset something that I need strive to have. For. Yeah, exactly.
But where did that come from? Because when you were with your previous relationship, you didn't have that drive.
Andrew Tate, baby. No.
Which is part of the reason.
Maybe, who knows?
Which is part of the reason why things didn't work out. So that drive wasn't there at the time. So you maybe you feel like because things didn't work out and she left you.
Yeah.
Is that something where maybe that's stemming from?
Yeah. Because
you feel like, man, I wasn't good enough to her. Now I got to prove that to everybody else that I am good enough.
Oh.
Right.
Could that be it?
Well, I think about it this way. Let's say, I mean, we've all gone through breakups, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you go through a breakup, you see her with someone else, and then you ask, like, what does he have that I don't? And you start comparing yourself to that guy, right?
Yeah, sure.
So to speak.
I can see that.
Right?
I can see that.
I mean, in most cases, they downgrade, but...
Yeah, I like that.
With us, for sure.
But, like, in hindsight, like, you still question, like, what does he have? Like, why did he go after him and not me and stuff like that? So, like, that gives you a little bit of fire. And then after that, like, I always had, like, that desire to want to become a better version of myself. Like, even when I was working at Best Buy. But, like, I just didn't, like, I didn't have, like, the know-how. I didn't have, like, the resources or the knowledge to figure out how can I do that, you know? And honestly, the first step that I did, aside from, like, the whole content creation thing, was going to the gym.
Okay.
That was a huge stepping stone from, like, from a confidence perspective, like, looking good, feeling good, performing good. And, like, people see that and they give you the validation by saying, like, oh, like, your body's changing, you know? So, like, a lot of things in that regards kind of gradually puts you into, like, the path of wanting to, like, constantly want to self-improve. And that's kind of what set me off to, like, always be that kind of hungry.
I think the gym is a very powerful tool for a lot of people because, man, I mean, we talk about it. It almost, like, stems away from, like, the original niche. But, dude, there's just so much related to relationships and your health, like, overall with what you do with your body. Because, dude, look, when you go to the gym, it teaches you discipline. If you want to see results, right? You got to go there. You got to show up.
For sure. Okay?
You got to put in the work. It's not only there. There's a lot of other factors that you have to put align in order for that to work. What is that? Nutrition. Kind of saying no to certain things. Oh, we're going to be going out tonight. Ah, that's going to fuck me over. I don't want that shit. Yeah. And then over time, you start seeing the results. Mm. Now it teaches you patience. You know, all these things are tied of just being an overall better human being that if you learn all these things, when you then get into a relationship, now everything starts to come, like, fall into place. Okay, it teaches you how to be patient with your partner.
Yeah.
It teaches you how to be disciplined to do the right things for your partner. And I think overall, it just helps not only the relationship with your partner, but the relationship with yourself. Because then you learn so much about yourself and what you're capable of doing. You then start seeing the change. And you're like, man, if I apply going to the gym and seeing, like, my health change and how everything else is affected by it, what if I did that towards business? What if I actually did that towards my relationship? Like, actually putting effort. And I feel like that's where we kind of get a disconnect, because we talk about health and fitness and how important it is for it to be, like, overall as a human being better. And then, like, oh yeah, but then your relationships, like, I want to talk about a relationship. And it's like, dude, like, what about yours? The relationship with yourself, dude. Take care of you first. How are you expect to then worry about somebody else when you're not even taking care of yourself? Which I think is probably what happened with you, where you weren't even taking care of yourself. And then your girl's probably like, I mean, he's not a bad guy, but not doing anything.
This is really what I want from my life.
Right. Type shit. You know? Right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I remember coming out of that breakup, I think I was like 210, 220.
How much you weigh? Jesus. You're a tall guy, too.
You're tall.
Though. Yeah, yeah. But now I'm like 190.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
But, like, at the time, like, I cut super fast. And, like, my boys, they know because they saw the results. I think maybe 3-4 months in, I'd lost, like 10, 15 pounds, like hot out the gate, you know.
Yeah.
It's usually what happens. So you go to a breakup.
Guns blazing.
Yeah. How long have you guys been in a relationship for?
I think this we're around the same, like, time. No, well, okay.
12 years?
No, bullshit. Bullshit. I've known my girl since kindergarten. So we're both, I'm 31. You're turning 31 in March.
Next month.
Turning 31, okay. Oh, yeah. So I'm 31. I've known her since I was, like, well, 3 or 4 years old, I guess. 5 years old in kindergarten, whatever the fuck it was. She was my kindergarten crush.
So you were rizzing already back in kindergarten.
Oh, yeah. She sat next to me. Actually, she doesn't remember. She's like, I don't know who the fuck you were, but I remembered because she was my crush. Yeah. I sat right next to her, whatever. She ended up moving to another state for her dad, for work, whatever. And then we rekindled a little bit in college where I saw her, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Or whatever. We were talking there in college. It didn't work out in college. Mm-hmm. We were both in Greek life, so I was in a fraternity doing my thing. She was in a sorority. I wasn't doing a lot of bad things, but she probably wasn't doing the best things.
Right.
And so we kind of went our separate ways, and then we rekindled 3 years ago.
Yeah.
3-ish years ago. Maybe our anniversary, our two-year anniversary was on the 22nd of February.
Oh, sure.
But we were dating kind of for a year prior to that. We started off like, oh, she just got out of a relationship. I mean, you know, I don't want to jump into something because I've been down that road where someone gets out of a relationship and they're giving you a bunch of like, oh my God, I'm single now. Like, let's talk.
Yeah.
And you're like, shit, okay. You start talking to them and then they're like, oh, by the way, I'm going to go back to my ex. And you're like, fuck. So I'm like, you know what? Let me take it slow. About like around the end of the year, I'm like, okay, I think this is for real.
Yeah.
And then that's when I'm like, man, okay, I want to ask her out, but I want to make sure I can remember the day. So then I asked her out on February 22nd, 2022. So 2-2-2-2-2.
Wow.
I can't forget. So that's kind of why I waited. But anyways, yeah. So since then, it's been like 2 official years. 3 we've been dating. You have been with your
girl. We're about to make officially 3 years coming up in May. But we met like during COVID of 2020, like in the summer. But you know, it was COVID. Like things were just kind of weird. So officially, we were about to make 3 years in May.
I do want to ask you, and also to challenge you, because you had said that when you realized that you needed to make a change, it was when you guys broke up. Because when you were in the relationship, you didn't.
Yeah.
There wasn't any.
I wasn't aware about it.
Okay. do you feel like in your relationship that you, it motivates you to continue striving, or do you think that's just you as Marvin?
So,
like, do you have a purpose with your
goal? I think that's a great, great conversation to start, because I feel like I've never been more driven. Like, where I am, like, now, like, this year, like, a few past few couple of months, like,
there's something different about you.
I'm so driven with work.
Very proud of you.
Thank you. I'm also very proud of you. We'll also something different.
I'm proud about you guys.
Hey, I'm proud of you too, dog.
I'm proud of you too. So, yeah, so I can see how a lot of guys, and I want to piggyback off of that in a little bit, but a lot of guys do become very complacent when they come in a relationship. They become comfortable, like, oh, this girl, she's great, she's a good girl, maybe not the girl of my dreams, but she's a good girl, I'll stay with her. And then they'll, whatever they do or do not do is just within the comforts of that relationship.
Yeah,
I don't feel this way. I feel like I have a lot of goals, but not just for myself, but also because of her. Eventually we want to have a house, we want to have kids, and it's like, to me, I wake up every day with the purpose of, how can I make our life better? Like, what can I do to elevate myself? But also, sometimes I got to take a step back and enjoy the moment where we are today, because it's easy to get caught up in that. Like, oh, I want to make this amount of money, I want to pay this off, and then I want to do this. But it's like, then you reach that, and then it's like the next goal. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to take a step back and appreciate where you are in that life, because there was a day in time where you prayed to have what you have today. We've talked about that too. It's like, now we got a podcast studio. I remember we recorded in a fucking warehouse. And then now we have this, and we're like, oh, fuck, we wish we had more followers, or we had this. Yeah. But it's like, there was a time where we prayed for this room, and now we have it. So now we got to be grateful for it. But to go back to your initial question is like, you liked it, huh? To go back to your original question is, dude, my girlfriend pushes me to be a better man, you know, to provide the life that she deserves. So when I hear her wake up in the morning, sometimes like 5 a.m. to go to work, I'm like, fuck, I got to work harder so one day she doesn't have to wake up at 5 a.m. to go to work. And so I'm not complacent. I'm not comfortable. If anything, she pushes me to do better.
Wow, shout out to Marvin's girlfriend.
Shout out to Marvin's girl.
I love you, baby.
But now, let's now use that. Do you think that your girl, was she kind of allowing you to be or motivating you to be that better person?
Ooh.
No disrespect to her.
No, not at all.
But maybe there was a dynamic that you felt like, you know what? I don't really give a fuck enough. Like, this is cool. She's not really pushing me for more. So I guess this is, you know?
Well, I think two things. I think one, like, after hearing you guys talk and, like, thinking back to mine, I also think, like, if I were to get into a relationship now, I would definitely have, like, the same, like, mindset that you just spoke about. But back then, like, I was younger, too. Like, I got into a relationship with her when I was 21. Right.
Okay. Mm.
So yeah, you guys got into a relationship roughly around like 27.
20, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know, in that regard. Yeah. So like, if I were to get into a relationship now, it's much more different. Like, I have the discipline. I would most likely want to have a partner too that motivates me as well. At that time, it was different. Like, we were young. We were still kind of trying to figure out life in a way.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like lost in that regard, and she was lost too. So two lost people together, it's kind of hard to try to find your way out of it, you know? So
yeah.
So like, instinctively, I wanted to be that guy to like plan for the future and this, that, and a third. But then again, like, when it's only like one-sided, when only one person's kind of like taking initiative to figure out like what we should do with our life, it's hard to like consistently stay motivated or focused or disciplined. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's just like in the dynamic in which we started our relationship in and how it progressed is very different to how I perceive what my next relationship is going to be like.
But what about, but then you guys reattempted. Did anything really change from that year of you posting and that reattempt?
Yeah, that year really did change, because when we got together that year, at the beginning of that relationship, I told her, I said, like, listen, I've done a lot of work on myself. I'm telling you right now, like, I'm good with or without you. So, like, figure out your shit. If this is what you want, like, we'll give it a go. But, like, I'm letting you know now, like, I'm good with or without you. So, like, I'm not here to play games. And then when we broke up, I repeated to her a year later the exact same words. I'm like, are you sure this is what you want to do? Because I'm good with or without you, you know. I stuck with it. And then after that, I continued to pursue whatever I had going on. Like, I still was doing the TikTok. I was still going into the gym. If anything, like, it gave me like a little bit more of a boost. But like, I stayed on my grind. I stayed on my path, and like, there was no going back from then.
So then, why did you guys break up the second time, or like that last time, I guess?
So the version that I got. The version that I got is from what she told me. It was like more or less of the same song and dance that she gave me the time before.
Oh boy!
Like she was. Oh wait. Also, side note. This was. we broke up a week after being engaged.
What?
What?
Yeah, a week after we got in. Also on my birthday weekend.
Wait. I don't understand. Okay. So you guys break up. You guys get back together.
Yeah.
It's for a year.
Yeah.
You propose.
I propose at the end of that year. So I propose in end of April. My birthday is beginning May.
Okay. So wait. I don't understand. Where's the relationship? Even good, or did you say, oh, I think a ring will fix this?
No, that's the thing. The relationship wasn't like it wasn't bad. Like the relationship was good, and also like we were planning also moving down to Miami, right? And like we were having plans in that regards, and like she didn't have like anything to like officialize like the commitment of the relationship. So I was like, you know what, I'll get the ring.
You know what I mean? Make it official.
But also in hindsight, it's also been like 6 years that we're together, you know? She's from a Greek background. Like, you know, it's like, where's my goddamn ring?
Okay.
You know? So there's a lot of things that led up to that decision. Like, but then, yeah, I proposed. So people will be able to like decipher like what might've happened. But so we proposed. She had already planned like a trip with her girls to go to. Yeah, to what? Go.
Where'd she go?
She went to Costa Rica.
Okay. I mean, Costa Rica's not that bad.
But like, I was cool with it. You know, like I didn't care about like girls trips and stuff like that and whatnot. So like, when she told me she was gonna go do that, and she had that planned. At the time, I was cool with it.
Lesson
learned. I like it.
Yeah. So yeah, which and then she and like I was preparing to like do like this whole like, you know, like celebrating our engagement, right? I was planning like a trip to go on together and whatnot, and TikTok was going good and everything was going good, so it was on me, right? So I was planning that, and like when I was like hinting her like, hey, like we had this trip going on, I saw like her energy like kind of like change while she was away, you know. And then she comes back, we have a little bit of a scrap, and then she leaves. She goes to like a friend's house or whatever, right? And on her way to that friend's house, yeah, we're on the phone, and it kind of comes to terms that like we're breaking up, right? And I was kind of pressing her too, because I'm like, yo, this just sounds like the same song and dance that you gave me last time. And on that same phone call, I told her the same words, like I told you, like at the beginning of the year, I'm good with or without you, you know. So figure it out, you know. And yeah, we stuck to the decision of breaking up, and then. Like I said, that's the version of the story that I got.
Did something happen when she was gone?
He doesn't know, because that's as much as he knows.
I don't know.
That's you have an opinion on it?
Yeah, for sure. I've heard like all, but like the thing is, like once like the truth actually came out, it was like I'm so far gone from this. Like it doesn't even faze me anymore. You know,
whatever happened.
Yeah, I already created like the worst case scenarios in my mind. And that just helped me go through the breakup much faster.
You had to mentally prepare yourself for
that point.
And exactly. Also, nothing that happened had anything to do with you and everything to do with her. Really, realistically, whatever she did.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's on her.
Yeah.
Did you get the ring back?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, she gave it to you.
Like, we met up when she came back. Yeah, when she came back, we met up, and I'm like, respectfully, like, we were engaged for like a week.
You still have it, or you got rid of it?
I actually still have it.
You save it for the next girl.
She ain't got to know. She ain't got to know. Cut us off.
No. Yeah, maybe.
Damn, dude. So if your next girl were to be like, hey, I'm going on a girls trip. You got to...
Which one are you going on?
I think the PTSD is still definitely going to be there for sure, you know?
Oh, shit, dude.
You guys seen the show You? On Netflix?
Yeah.
No.
Bro.
What? You haven't watched it?
Maybe they'll have it in Canada, bro. Who knows? But I feel like you're going to be that guy where it's like, yeah, I'm going to go on a trip here. And then he's going to show up like hiding in the back corner, like in the plane with a mask on. Like, I don't know. Don't look at me.
With the mask.
I don't know. Like, listen, to each their own, right? Like, I'd much rather be like, let's go on a trip together. Or like, I should be able to like vibe with your friends enough that like we could all kind of like travel together.
So it's like a girl trip, and he's like, let me come with you. I'm in the put corner. On a wig.
That's what my girl said. Remember when we were planning a guy's trip? She's like, so we were like, oh, like Marvin and I, we want to do like a guy's trip, maybe like one or two other guys to come with us, whatever. And she was very limited on the amount of locations we can go on. And I don't think it was more like, I don't trust you in those locations. She says, oh, it's because I want to go too, because I haven't been to a lot of these locations. But yeah, it's almost like it's a guy's trip.
Yeah. Yeah. But a boys.
Yeah.
Let the guys go. But now, based on this, do you think that you would let any other girl in the future?
Yeah. The only reason why I say that, like, I understand, like, what people's opinions are on the internet about that. But at the end of the day, like, she still has her life to live. And, like, if at the end of the day, if I'm with a girl that's, like, is, that I think is going to be, like, promiscuous when she goes on girls trips, why would I even want to be in a relationship with her in the first place?
This is what a healed person sounds like.
But I also, this is a little side note, I also feel like there's certain, some trips are more reserved for people who are single. So if I'm in a relationship, I don't think I would want to maybe go to Vegas, right? Where or
you're not going to Colombia, that's for
or
sure.
Or Colombia. I'm not going to go to Medellin because... The scene there all you gotta say. So I feel like there's a place and a time for everything. Same like strip clubs, I feel like not really the best place.
Or like if you're with your girl and she goes, oh, I'm doing a girls trip to Miami. Probably not.
Especially, we live in Miami, but if you majority
no, but the people who come down here don't come to Hialeah.
Yeah,
they go to South Beach and fucking party and shit. Yeah.
So it's like I feel like there are certain stipulations, but for the most part, if you want to go backpacking with your fucking boys somewhere in I don't know fucking Sweden. I feel like that's fucking fine. I don't 100%. Think there's a big deal.
You know, it's funny because at my job yesterday, I was talking to one of my coworkers. So he's getting married later on this year. He's going this weekend to his bachelor party. Okay. They're doing a trip to Costa Rica, ironically. But he's telling me like, oh, like we're going to go backpacking. We're going to go hiking. We have like all these things that we're going to be doing. So I don't know. It just seems like very, very different, I guess. You know what guys do. Well, yeah. And then again, so guys, they probably go on trips too, and they probably be doing some wild shit.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's what you said. I think it all depends on who is it that I'm dating, right? Like, do I know this person that I'm dating? Because if you're gonna be with someone that then you're like, no, I don't want you going here, or no, you can't do this, or you're too much of this. It's almost like, man, well, maybe it's not about them not going on the trip or them not doing that. It's like, why are you shouldn't even be with that person if you don't even agree with what it is that they wanted
for sure. And I remember like not the relationship that we've been talking about, but the recent one that I had, one of the moments that I actually like genuinely fell in love with this person is because I remember what time she was on a trip. I forgot where she was, but regardless, she was with her girls, right? And we weren't necessarily official yet either. We were still like talking, but we were exclusive. Like we knew where it was going. And she was on this trip with her girls. And at one point I remember like we were FaceTiming each other. And I'm like, where are your friends at? Like you seem to be alone and whatnot. And she's like, yeah, they went on a yacht. And then I was like, why? Okay. So I was like, why didn't you go with them? And she's like, oh, like, I don't feel the need to have to go on, like, have to go on the yacht. Interesting. So, like, that to me, that I was like, damn.
Damn.
Like, that to me, I was like, you know, that's a keeper. And not that I would have had a problem with it, but, like, especially, like, when, like, she's trying to somewhat sell herself to me, like, to make sure that, like, we'll get into a relationship. She was kind of letting me know, like, this is the kind of energy that I'm coming with, you know, like. I'm not going to be the type to like go on yachts and like hang out with all these guys, but also like I also like respect my relationship enough to not even like want to do it. Like she's good. She's somebody like she's super good on her own.
Yeah,
you know. But like to me at that time it was like unheard of. Like I never heard like of a girl
speak saying or no act to a yacht.
Speak and act in that way, you know. And keep in mind, like she's the type of person that loves to do these things, you know, especially when single. And she's not a promiscuous person. It's not like she was doing like shit whenever she'd go on other yachts. It's just like the thrill of being on a yacht, you're in Miami, whatever, it's fun, you're with your girls and whatever, right? But to know the kind of personality she has and still decide to be like, I'd rather not go on the yacht because I don't feel the need to, that to me was like top tier.
They exist.
You're still seeing that person or?
No. Oh, okay. We broke off maybe, I think, like five, 6 months ago.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah. Now you go in the store, she's on a yacht somewhere.
Yeah,
go fuck.
No. Me, I'm cutthroat with my relationships. Like me, like I'll either mute or unfollow depending on how it ended. Like I'm like that. Yeah. Once I know like we're done, like I just need to like hear you utter the words like it's over for good and like there's no going back and then I'm good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta do it. I had one question. Love to hear your opinion on it as well, because earlier you had said we talked about you had mentioned something that I think is really interesting. You said guys are more comfortable than women, especially when they're in long-term relationships. Do you feel like, because obviously when it comes to marriage, the majority of divorces are initiated by women. So a lot of guys are like, oh, this is why I'm not gonna get married, you know, women, they're gonna leave you anyways. But I personally feel like women, they initiate divorces at a higher rate because they're first to say, I'm fed up, this is not working for me. Meanwhile, the guy who is probably also fed up, but he's comfortable, he's complacent, he's not going to walk out of the relationship because he's like, oh, she's okay, she's not great, but mm-hmm. I'm already too comfortable, and I don't want to start over with somebody else, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So they might not be happy, but they're less likely to leave a relationship or a marriage because the woman will say, you know what, enough is enough. Do you agree with that assessment that I'm kind of bringing to you?
The thing that I come to realize now is that, you know, women are making their own money, right? So there's a lot less that's like forcing them to have to stay in relationships, right? Like by all means, if the guy was the only breadwinner and like they were to like separate or divorce, the girl respectfully would have nothing to her name.
Mm-hmm.
But now like they do, right? Like, and this is not too long ago. Like we're talking within like the last 100 years,
sure, yeah,
like,
give
or take, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. More or less. So like now that like they're being more and more independent, making their own money, why would you want to stay with a guy that's just being average, so to speak,
right.
or is doing the same as you when you know you're like. Like the girls are on their grind now. Like they have money. Like if they leave the relationship, like they're still okay, like financially, right?
Yeah.
And I think guys, they become like complacent and they kind of just like chill because they feel like, oh, like I got my girl now. It's official. Like she's not gonna leave.
She ain't gonna leave or whatever. Even though
exactly
this isn't the best relationship.
And also to add to that, I feel that for a lot of men now, like we're not like raised the same way as we used to be raised, like back then either. Like before, like we were kind of like. It was like the patriarchy, right? Like the father was like passing down the information on how to be like a better man and how you should treat a woman, stuff like that. I feel like it's kind of gotten like lost through time, more or less. So I feel like that dynamic is lacking too, right? I don't like. It might be like a unpopular opinion. I just don't feel that for the average guy now, we're stepping into the roles that we instinctively have. To want to lead, to want to provide, to want to protect. I'm talking about average. I'm not talking about, sorry. I'm not talking about us. I'm not talking about entrepreneurs. I'm not talking about people that are above average. Like
driven.
Yeah, when we're talking about average, sorry. We're talking about average, we're taking like the majority of men, right?
Right.
And like you see them like when you walk down the street or whatever, right? Like I'm talking about those guys. And I think they become complacent where, like, the rest of the guys are wanting to be the ones who are able to protect and provide and to do these kind of things. So there's kind of, like a dynamic shift that I feel like has been happening with the last few years. You know, like, girls are on their come up. They're on their grind. They wanted to be independent. And I feel like guys are kind of, like, on the back burner a little bit. They don't have, like, the drive that they used to have, like, years ago, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's why I think it gets initiated because it's, like,
the woman's like, dude, I already make my own money. I don't need you, especially if you're not bringing anything to this relationship.
100%. I mean, respect. Like, I don't know what your guys' opinion are, what your opinion is, but I feel like women like to look up to their partner. Not to say that they're below them or inferior in any regard, but
they
like to want to like learn from them, right? Mm-hmm. And like they like someone that's able to like teach them things, right? To a certain degree and whatnot, you know.
But I'm sorry.
No. But I was just gonna say, and I just feel like that's kind of what like men are like not capable to do anymore. Because like if you look at a guy now, sometimes they can't even like they can't even hang up like a picture frame on the wall, or they can't like you know like and that's kind of like the basics in what we're taught, like.
Right.
You know, to feel like we should know as a man, but like
it's
changed obviously through time.
You think women like to admire their significant other?
I mean, who wouldn't? You know, right. It's like why, like, I don't know. I feel like when you like even in your situation, like, you know, she pushes you, like you have that drive within you.
Yeah.
But she gives you that like that additional one. Right. So I feel like it's the same thing for women when they look to their man, like you kind of want to like, have that like. Bouncing the back and forth of like wanting to grind it to
true,
succeed.
True, true.
Yeah, exactly.
And you as a man, you want your woman to be proud of you. Like I want my partner to be like that. That's my man.
Yeah.
And he could do these things for me. You know, provide not emotion, not just financially, but also emotionally, physically, and be there and be like, yo, that's my man.
Yeah.
I can kind of see that.
But now we talk a lot about average men, right? But let's talk about now the state of the current average woman who they, you know, it's like, what do you want at this point? You know? Yeah. Because there was a certain time where, yes, a woman would look up to a man for almost everything because, you know, men are, I guess they would have more of those resources or they would kind of be put in positions that they had to accomplish more things while women, I guess, were just looking up to them. But now we have this wave of, I don't want to say modern feminism, but it's almost like, okay, well, you're grinding. You want to get your own job. You're making your own money. And to a certain degree, I almost feel like with this whole, like, for years, women didn't have the same opportunities, and now we're kind of pushing them up to these opportunities. Where now, I honestly feel like men are not downgrading, but they're almost like
they're stumped a little bit. I mean, I think there was a statistic that I think more women are now graduating from college. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I think now more women are even owning homes now. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like we've put them up on, not this pedestal, but on this position to succeed at a much faster rate than men, where it's almost like, what do you want now? Because you're already accomplishing your own money. Now there's like this level of time that we're taking away from you for you to have an established relationship or for you to even have children. So like, where is the balance? And I feel like now with that modern woman, it's like, what do we do now? Mm-hmm. Because in order for you to look up to somebody else, it's like, well, if you're already making X amount of money, does then the guy that you need to be with have to be making more? Like what has to give at that point? I think that's my current concern with like modern feminization. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, I mean, I think women absolutely had a right to be able to get pushed into the playing field, because for hundreds of years, it was kind of like the man's world, right? Kind of man, mm-hmm. they created, they established, they made laws, they made rules, they ruled. So now for, let's say, for the past 60, 70 years, even a little bit less, women have been able to have their own bank account, have their own money, get their own career. So now it's like you compare 50 years to 500 years. So it's like you can say, well, it's not really even anymore. I'm like, right, is it? Like, because I feel like we're just now getting into the direction of making it fair. Mm-hmm. But yeah, obviously, are a woman outpacing men in a lot of these categories that you mentioned? Sure, for sure. But I think it's just a lot of men, you said it, just complacent. You know, men really aren't really men anymore. And it's like, it's not a woman's fault. You know, if they're outpacing you, it's only one person to, I don't want to say blame, but you got to work harder, yeah. You know? So I get what you're saying, where it's like a lot of women, they want their cake and eat it too, where they want to have the career, they want to make their money, but then they want the guy to pay for everything, or they want the guy to do this. Like, it's like they want their own money, and then they want to use the guy's money. And I'm like, fuck, what the fuck?
What's the solution, right? Is what I'm saying, in that situation. Because to your point, I get it. Like, oh, yeah, men should strive for more. They should grind. They should be able to put a picture frame up on the wall. I get that. But to the woman who already puts the picture frame up on the wall and is already making the money, and she's already there, who do you date at that point? You know, like the pool is very different at that state. So then how do you please a woman like that when she's got all the things that the man should be able to do?
There was this thing that I had come across, and what I took from that is basically men are not being raised the way that they used to be back then, right? Where it's kind of like the people that kids are looking up to now are like your streamers. They're like your YouTube content creators. They're people that are there showing you that you could make it by playing video games, right? I know some of them personally, like they're not, like they're, some of them like socially awkward, some of them like they're not fit, right? Some of them like they're all, it's a whole different pool of people that we now idolize. Especially for the younger generation, like before we had Mike Tyson, we had Michael Jordan, we had Muhammad Ali. We're like, they were teaching you about discipline, and like especially Muhammad Ali, he was like, he would speak in proverbs almost. You know, he was very like stoic.
So poet.
Like, exactly. So like, what we used to learn about back then versus what we learn about now is changing. I think how men
and what go, to look up to,
what to look up to. Yeah. So I feel like women are outpacing men because I feel like men are not. Are no longer at the same pace as how they used to be back then.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that's how I see it, because I was a victim to that too. You know, I was the one who was complacent, and like I had accepted like a very like average lifestyle for myself, right? And when I say average, like the thing is like to become above average, it doesn't take that much. It just requires you to go to the gym a little bit more often, mm-hmm. to make a little bit more money, to be a little bit more smarter, read a couple more books. Because that's what it is. Because even when we think about like the one percenters in the world, right? If you take the person that makes the least in terms of like the 1% on that chart, it's the guy makes 400,000 a year. So like the minimum that you would have to make in order to become part of the 1% in America is 400,000. That number is not unfathomable. It's a big number, but it's doable, you know? And the thing about social media and stuff like that is that we've also taught women that like 1% means that the guy's making $150 million a year.
Before we continue, we wanted to take a minute to emphasize how important it is to take care of your health. As we always say, every healthy relationship starts with yourself. Now, taking care of it isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 2 years, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. With one scoop mixed with water once a day, every day, it makes us feel like we're ready to take on the day. But it actually makes sense why. I mean, each serving of AG1 delivers our daily doses of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. Personally, AG1 just sets something off in my brain. I drink it first thing in the morning every single day, and it sets the foundation for my day. I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as a nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of the day. My morning routine isn't complete without AG1, and neither should yours. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. That's drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. Check it out.
You get what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. Right, right.
But when the reality is 1% is a guy that's making, you know, 400K. It's also 1% of the guy you're looking for. Like, girls now are looking for men that want to be like 6 foot, making millions of dollars, right? Be this, be that, and be whatever. But now, like, you're shorting that pool to less than 1%.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
But also, like, for the young guy, the average guy who's 18, 19 years old or just graduated in high school, they see all these requirements that women have. That he has to have X amount of money, all this stuff. So it's like, for them, it's like, why would they want to go to and become, I don't know, a carpenter or a mechanic when they see that the woman that they want to go after, they want the fucking guy to make $500,000.
Yeah, you see.
So then it's like, I gotta be an influencer. I gotta be a fucking gamer because that's the only way I can make that type of money realistically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the videos that we've posted it before where it's like, oh, how much do you expect? Like, if you're gonna do the man, how much should he make? And then they pause it, and then there was these two guys, I think you've seen them, that they're like, all right, I'm gonna be generous. I think she's gonna say 150. And then someone was like, you know what? I don't think so. Look at her eyes. She's going to say, like, at least 270. Boom. They press play, and she's like, $550. They're like, like, what the? So it's like, bro. Like, I also think that expectation, and then it's almost like, who are you? And I don't want to be disrespectful just being like, oh, because, you know, they want the top 1%. But would you consider yourself also the top 1% of women available?
Yeah, you know, like, what do you bring to the table kind of thing?
Right. So I feel like, where do we find that balance? And I feel like that's where, to your point, where it's like, well, like, is it even possible to reach that?
Exactly. And I don't know if you guys seen those videos, and I'll send it to you guys. Have you ever seen those resurfaced, like, street interviews back in the days that they were doing? You hate those? Like,
wait, back then?
Back, not the current ones.
Yeah,
the ones that are, like, in black and gray.
Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, yeah. Oh! And then people in the comments are like, oh, geez, street interview. Yeah. And, like, I would be, like, it was, like, 60s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they would ask the woman, oh, like, what do you want from, like, what do you would like to see in a man? Yeah. And they're, oh, I just want a good, hardworking man, you know, who takes care of the house and this and this, and I would be stay at home, and I will be, so it's, like, they're, their expectations and their ideas and them and desires in a man, you compare those to the ones now at 2024, bro, it's like you're on a different planet. Mm-hmm. When you listen to what women our age today are saying, what they want in a man versus 60 years, 70 years ago. So it's like, dude, there's a huge discrepancy between what is expected now and what was expected with our parents when they grew up. So it's like, dude, how can fucking men even compete with that?
Well, social media doesn't help, that's for sure.
Detriment.
I was going to chime in.
And also, like, the street interviews that they do, like, again, it's all for clicks, it's all for views, right?
They don't
put the good answers that are out there, right? They take the ones that are, like, the most toxic response.
I don't think that really helps. And not only that, I think a lot of times you'll even find scripted interviews, you know, where they're just like, hey, like, say this, like, you know, we need this, or like, they go with their boys or someone that they know, they'll pay them $100, but, like, yo, I need you to do this. Like, do some wash. I feel like that's kind of where, like, the realm of social media has gone into, where you don't even find genuine
people. Or they kind of create the environment and make it as extreme as possible. Like, if we see some of those in Brickell, they'll fucking interview people at 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. In Brickell, like, outside of Blue Martini, and it's like, people are
drunk,
fucked up on whatever, and then they ask them, oh, what do you think? And it's like, is that really what the general population also thinks? So that's another thing. Like, the algorithm gets you what we see, what we get exposed to. It's probably a lot smaller than what we think it is.
Yeah.
So it's a compilation of things.
I mean, the way I typically go about it too is like, if you're looking for a girl and whatnot, the last place that you would probably want to find her is on your phone.
Where are you gonna find her then? You know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, how do we used to find people back then? You know what I mean? So it's like,
let's say you
walk around.
No, yeah. Or like, let's say you go to a restaurant to eat something, or you go to order something, and you see a honey, you're like, yeah. Damn, hey, you're really pretty. I like your number, or whatever, some bullshit. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is that like.
You do that?
I'm taking it.
Yeah. But like, let's say, for example, like, we're more like extroverted guys, right? Sure. So it comes a lot easier for us to be able to go and talk and approach women and stuff like that. But again, I always refer to the term like average, because that's the reality in what we live in, right? Most people are average.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's the term. But like, a lot of guys are socially awkward, or like they don't have the confidence to go up and talk to a girl, right? Or, you know, there's a beauty standard for men too. Some men might not think they're good looking enough to get, you know, a girl who's beautiful, you know? So there's a lot of factors that come into play for men in order to like approach girls and stuff like that. So like, going on your phone and like creating a profile, whether the information is real or fake is up to like, you know, interpretation, right? So like, there's the lack of like being real, you know, like how much information can you put on your bio to like be different from everybody else?
Yeah. Right. Right.
So, but like, if you cross paths with someone and you have like an organic conversation, it's completely different. If you're just like cold DMing girls on Instagram or on Hinge or whatever it is, like, I've never downloaded a dating app in my life. Uh-huh. Not true. I've downloaded it. I've never created an account. Sorry. Cause at one point, like, it piqued my curiosity, you know, maybe what if, right? But like, at the end of the day, I'm like, is that really what I want? Yeah. Why do I want that? Just so I could get a quick hookup?
I don't know. I think originally when these dating apps first came out, I think it was to kind of bridge the gap of
connecting.
There's people that maybe aren't comfortable reaching out, and with the era of social media and everybody on their phones, it's almost like, well, okay, it's another app, you know. I'm already on Instagram, which arguably Instagram is a dating app, right?
Sure.
But now, you know, it's almost like, well, you know, if we're already on there, what if we create the app to specifically cater to those who are looking for people? Because maybe in person they don't have the same charisma or that confidence to go up to somebody, or even women, maybe women, because they expect to be walked up to, which I get it traditionally, which we then tie back to all these changes of like, well, I don't even know what we want anymore, because then if a guy goes up to a girl and then immediately they're like, fuck off.
That was my input on that.
So like, then at least now I think women are now, and now in this also day and age where it's like, you hear all these people being kidnapped, and you watch all these people fucking dying and all this bullshit. It's like, you don't want to meet up with certain people in certain places, or you see them somewhere and they're like, oh, hey, you want to come with me and over here? You know, now it's almost like, well, I want to see a little bit more.
Yeah.
I want to know what it is that I'm getting into. And I feel like that's originally what it was intended for, you know, to kind of bridge that gap, to make it easier to talk to people.
Possibly.
But I also think now it just created more people to want to connect less, because instead of now going up to someone in person that you may find attractive, that you this may be the only time I can see them, you know, unless I do something, it's almost like, oh, okay, well, they're on my phone, I'll write to them whenever, and nothing will ever happen. And I think that's kind of like the problem of I guess where dating is. I guess the question would be now, what would be the solution? How do we solve this, I guess, disconnect?
I think we're gonna head into like into the realm of like, people are so like fed up with like the apps and the
you
virtual
think
thing.
So, dude? You haven't seen the fucking Apple Vision Pros? Like, you put that shit on, you connect it to your phone. Like, imagine there's gonna be a day that we might have an episode here, but we're wearing those stupid fucking
goggles. We're like in a different country.
Yeah, no, not in a different country, but I'm talking to you while I'm also like watching something over here, and then I'll cast it over to you to watch the video that I'm looking at. So we're gonna be talking with these fucking goggles, and then we're gonna have a reel on this side where we're talking like.
Well, we could be like in a virtual like. Like, you're at your place, I'm in your place, and then here.
Our avatars are talking in the same room, like, type shit.
That's kind of cool, actually.
We're becoming, but also at the same time, we're becoming more and more disconnected. There was this movie that came out a long time ago. I forgot what it was called, but it was a movie with Bruce Willis, right? And basically, they get into these capsules, and then they have, like, you guys remember the game Sims?
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
So their characters, like, will live in, like, in a real world, but like their actual physical bodies are like in this like weird capsule VR type
thing.
Yeah. Ooh. And then what happens is that everything is fake. So you could do drugs, you could do all these things without actually having an effect on your actual body, right? But the thing is like, when he wakes up, when he comes out of the capsule to like sleep in the real world, he comes back to like this sadder world where he's not happy with his wife. He's not in shape and stuff like that. But in his VR world, he's a completely, he's a stud. He's really? Built. He has riz. He has all these things going for him, right? So, like, I mean, if you fast forward, I mean, think about where technology is now. Fast forward 1,000 years and think about where technology is going to be.
You're going to be around Inception, where people, like, are in a dream. And then they're, if you watch the movie, obviously some people prefer dreaming because they were living the life that they wanted to live.
Yeah.
So imagine this is reality and people were like, we'll give you a capsule. You go in and you can dream and you can live a life with maybe somebody who passed away or somebody. And it just feels so real. Mm-hmm. But you're not, it's not real.
Well, it's not real.
Wasn't that the original idea, like with the whole metaverse bullshit? Metaverse. And now with like, these vision goggles and like, I think Meta, I think Facebook, Meta, whatever, they have their own shit as well. But I think it's all intended to kind of transition
for sure
reality and to virtual reality.
Yeah.
Which I feel like then, have you guys seen WALL-E? The Disney movie, WALL-E. You know, you haven't, but you got to watch. It's a great movie, actually. But, dude, it's just kind of sad because they kind of just left Earth to shit, right? And they all got sent to this, like, outer space capsule where everyone's just overweight. They're just, like, all in, like, these little beds moving around with, like, their screens in their face. They don't have to walk anymore. Like, everything is just so convenient. Yeah. But it's just, like I don't know, man. Like, the direction that where technology is taking us, it's disconnecting us so much more. And then, bro, I'm a conspiracy theorist. This guy judges me all the time. I start thinking, like, bro, is there the... Bro, I'm only crazy until it's true.
That's true.
And then, you see, this guy gets it. So it's almost like, is there, like, a systematic thing going on that's kind of forcing people to be more disconnected?
Yeah, for sure.
So you agree. Okay, you see, this guy's not crazy. I think you're crazy.
So you think... What the government is behind the...
I'm not saying the government.
Somebody is behind
But I do feel like... I don't know, man. Because just look at what happened with COVID. We were talking about COVID. We're probably going to get fucking... Do we still get banned or whatever? Are we talking about this bullshit?
C word.
The C word, yeah. So just back then, like, think of, like, how they all, like, we were forced to do something, right? And, like, fast forward now, like, there's just a lot of things that have come up. Like, was it really necessary? Did we have to do this? Like, there's more complications with the vaccinations that maybe we didn't think about because we just rushed it to get it all out. Like, there's just a lot of things that really didn't make sense, but we just accepted it because we were told to, right? So, you know, is there something greater that's kind of forcing us to kind of, you know, walk the line rather than us being free and being this, I don't want to say entrepreneurial, but just being ourselves to just kind of accomplish things that we want? Or is there something that's kind of forcing us to say, hey, stay by this line?
I think there is, but I don't think it's like collectively, like, I don't know, an organization or that people say, oh, let's do this. Let's create social media so people are like forgetting to, I don't know, live. I think the problem in this country is people.
I'm challenge you on that one, but sure.
Yeah, I think the problem is people, they would tell you, go to college, take out an immense amount of debt, get a job to pay off that debt, and then buy a house. And then work, and then get a new car, and then have all this debt. I think that is the real
trap.
The systematic trap that
okay.
you work but your ass off. To, you know, you pay off, you're leasing a car or whatever. Then you pay it off.
But who set the trap though?
The system, like the banks. Who profits from us?
So then that's where
I'll challenge you.
Because you're here saying like, oh, I don't think social media, whatever, is going to be the cause of that. But I think those people who have that power. Are now leveraging the resources that have been provided to them to then make it easier for them to continue with their system. So if systematically they said, hey, we're going to make it so you go to school, graduate, get a job, save your money, buy a house, the car,
Yeah.
Be a slave for the next 80 fucking years.
Yeah.
I think now it's almost like, all right, well, we have social media now. So how can we leverage that to still have people follow a similar system. Maybe not directly to that, but if this is the new resource, what can we do to then kind of create that system that they follow along
but
with?
Even if there was no social media, people would still be trapped in this. If anything, social media, yes, it amplifies it because it shows you how other people are living and they have a nice car. So I want to get a nice car even though it's going to fucking take me 10 years to pay the shit off and then I'll get it, buy a house and all. Like, it's like, sure, does social media facilitate this whole thing, but... Mm-hmm. Even before social media was around, there was this cage that we kind of are just programmed to dive in, especially in America where everything's so focused on work and bills and this and this. You buy a house, you think you own a house, but then you miss 3 payments and then the bank will take it or you pay it off. Now you still have property taxes to pay, which will go up every year, or insurances. So it's like you never really own anything, especially in this country now where everything is about like the sharing and the right share and this. You don't need a car. You could just fucking release everything and all that stuff like that. It's like, you don't really own anything in this country. But I don't think social media is the main culprit for the issue that we're in right now. Obviously, it could probably add to it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, I agree with both points. I think just to add to that, the whole thing about social media, I feel like the more you disconnect people, the more you're able to control them. And by control, I just mean by, like, you know, keeping them in the system and whatnot, right? Like, the more you do that, like, let's say if you were to put everybody together and rally up for the same cause and whatnot, like, you would be unbeatable. Like, let's say, for example, I know it might be like a little bit far-fetched as an example, but when they had the French Revolution, it was at a time where like you hardly had any right to speak like what you thought, right?
Right.
But collectively people got together, they rose up against the system because they were fed up, right? But like now if you have a society where people are more and more disconnected, if people they don't fight for the same cause anymore, there's not like that sense of like of unity and like, you know, believing in the same thing. Like now, like we bring about, we talk about a topic, let's say the C word, COVID, and like everybody has a bunch of different opinions now, right? So now you have like a bunch of these, like these subcategories of what people believe in, and no one's talking the same language anymore.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Where like at one point it was like fight for freedom to fight for freedom and that's it.
Yeah. Right.
Now
yeah.
It's like people believe in this and then that, and like people kind of like pick and choose now, like what their conspiracy theory is. Only because social media is feeding you information based on your algorithm and what you want to see. So there's just like a whole bunch of a clusterfuck of things that's happening because of social media. And like now it's like, okay, well, who's putting the information out there? What's news outlets? Okay, well, are they more on the left or are they more on the right? What message are they trying to push? So there's just a lot of like so many nuances now with social media that like, yeah, like will mess with someone.
But then the alternative is no social media. Like, it's like, I feel like social media is a double-edged sword because before social media, you still had news outlets where they had their certain like agendas and they were owned by certain people. So it's like either way, you would be getting information from one way or another. And at least now you have the option to do your own research. Now it's up to you to do it. But if something goes on across the world, you find out about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the things that happened decades ago, whether it was the Holocaust or whatever that happened, people didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
So people now are like, oh, how could this even happen? Well, there was no social media. So there was nothing, there was no news outlets that would report like it is, or you would see videos. Now something happens, you fucking 5 minutes later, you see it on the internet.
You know right away, yeah.
Back then, you didn't have that. So you would just have to rely on the news outlets to publish, the truth. But at least now, there is some way of kind of streaming accurate information, even though it's a little bit murky, but you can find out.
The only thing I don't know like the history of like news companies and who they're owned by and stuff like that, but also I think like through time, like it's the news has become a business where like now it's no longer like broadcasting the news, it's who could get the most amount of views.
Oh yeah, of course,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like what kind of clickbait banner can we put to get people to tune in, and like what kind of information can we give? And like what I love the most about like YouTube and content creators now is that I like that they have the freedom to do whatever they want, to the point where there was this guy that invented a fake news story that the news actually took, picked up and broadcasted it to, it was like their local news station, right? But the guy made like an elaborate fake like prank, and he pranked the news essentially.
What do you remember what it was? Because that sounds familiar.
I don't know exactly what it was, but like
he said some bullshit and then
It was something, or it was like an accident or whatever, and like they gave all this like false information to the news to the media, right? And the media they ran with it.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's like they're no longer like fact checking stuff to the degree like that that's they used to thing. Because I think before, I think because there was no like monetary incentive, I think there was a time where they were really giving you the proper information how it was at a time. But in that same breath, like there was also propaganda back then too. Like,
yeah,
if a world leader had a specific message to want to spread, like you could easily like here's some money, lead with that. You know. So I think like a lot of things changed throughout time for sure.
I still think there's a lot of that though. Still think there's a lot of that where if you did want to lead and you were in a position of power, you could say whatever you want and they'll follow along. I mean, fuck. Think of cereal, dude. Think of the breakfast, you know, that we eat. Mm. We have all these companies that have all this money dumping into this kind of these ads and all this bullshit saying that, oh yeah, this is the best thing. Oh, look how easy. Bro, didn't you send the video of the Kellogg's CEO or whatever the fuck that he was there saying like, well, you know, we're in tough times. You know, things are expensive. People should just start eating cereal for dinner and, you know, they'll save some money. And it's like, dude, you fucking billionaire fuck. Yeah. Are you telling me that I got to eat cereal for dinner because I can't afford food?
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah. You know? So then that's kind of where my conspiracy theorism, I guess, comes from, because it's almost like I don't know, bro. Like, there's just, like, so many other resources than you're just, like, trying to convince us on bullshit and you want us to kind of follow along when it's almost like, I think with social media, you're starting to see through that shit. My only concern is that it really does create a disconnect because instead of you being able to talk to other people, everyone's always like this. Like, look at all these pictures that, you know, when you go out or just go to a restaurant, go anywhere, everyone's going to be like this.
Yeah.
There's times that I'll be on my phone and I look around and everyone like that I'm with, like, I'll go out with them and we're all on our phones and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
Well, you know what I do like now about, like, where, like, our society is going, however, is, like, you have these guys like Elon Musk, for example, will buy Twitter, will say pretty much fuck you. You know, we'll want to give back the freedom of speech to the platform. We'll change the company's name, call it X, you know. And you also, I think, to go to your question before, based on what I just said, is I think what would be like the healthy balance now is that you have more and more independent journalists.
Yeah.
Right. That are funded by themselves and that actually want to get down to the truth of the story. You have people like, for example, Tucker Carlson. Right. And you have these people that are making their own, like, YouTube channels or their new news companies or whatever you want to call it, right? Like that, yeah. And a lot of the time, and like even Piers Morgan, his thing is called Uncensored, right? So I think there's more and more people that are trying to become more so like, here's the truth and here's how it is. Mind you, everybody has their opinion, right? But at the end of the day.
Right.
But at least they're not like cutting things out. It's a little bit more well-researched. I mean, the guy just got an interview with Vladimir Putin.
I did see some shit like that.
How many other news reporters or, you know, journalists have gotten that, you know, that capability? But from what I'm understanding is that because he's more so like an independent journalist, he was going there for a genuine interview and, you know, Vladimir knew that he wasn't going to sway the conversation into one direction or the other, you know?
Yeah, I think the fact that now you have anybody, like, even look at us, like, we can talk about whatever we want theoretically and, you know, post it on the internet and have people watch it, whatever, it's a double-edged sword because you're gonna have some people talk crazy shit and then you kind of need that if you want to allow people to express themselves. You got to give people the option to say what they want to say, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's where you got to be careful because you could give somebody a platform, but I would like to say we're genuine guys.
We are genuine guys.
But there's also people with evil,
crazy folks
use that platform for.
Exactly. And at which point it's like, okay, like, but you can't have one without the other, really. Because if you can start controlling what they say and da da da, and it's now it's like, I feel like you're doing more harm than good. You just got to give people the choice to make their own decisions of who you want to listen to.
Yeah. But that's why I think these conversations are important. That's why I like podcasts and YouTubers and stuff like that, because there is no control from whoever. You know, you're not having like CBC coming knocking at your door, paying you guys to say certain things, right? Yeah. And I think that even these conversations, even with people that don't agree with what we're saying, right? Wait, you guys are being paid by CBC? Or what?
No, it's just funny. Imagine someone knocking on the door right now, like, yo.
But the thing is, like, I just think that like these conversations are good because, like you mentioned, like, people should be allowed to think on what they want to think, and you could pick and choose what you want. Like, not everybody has to have the same opinion. Mm-hmm. There's in this conversation now, people might have agreed with the thing that you said, and they should be allowed to construct their own conclusion at the end of it, right?
Yeah, I guess
we're all right.
No?
Yeah, it's just at the end of the day, like, it's almost like shit's gonna happen. You just got to roll with it at the end of the day, bro.
Yeah.
You really don't know whether it's going to be true or false. Like, who's right at the end of the
day? Have you guys seen those videos, the OpenAI, where the AI is creating videos, and it's so realistic.
On text, Sora.
Yeah, Sora. Like, you put something like,
handsome guy. I saw the handsome guy walking down the street on a rainy day or whatever, and it's just some guy like.
It's mental.
And you're like, what the fuck?
And then
that is talk about technology, right? Put that in the hands of the wrong person. Then what?
Have you ever watched those, what is it called, Black Mirror, and there's an episode?
I have, but I've heard so many good things I haven't seen.
You gotta watch it.
You have seen it?
I think I know what he's gonna say.
Do they have that? Whoa.
Every episode is different. Like, I have to watch some of them. Every episode is different. They have no connection to each other.
Yeah.
And then there's some episodes where there was one that was like, the girl was living her life, and then within like a couple of minutes later, or 30 minutes, an hour later, that her life was a Netflix video. Is that the one you were referring to?
No, but that one is fucked up too.
Yeah. It's like, we're talking right now, and then we go on Netflix in an hour, and you see us talking. And you see like three people talking about everything that we said.
Yeah.
So it's like that could be it.
I think that's the one that I started watching.
Yeah.
And then I was tripped the fuck out, and then I got distracted or whatever. But
something would happen to her, and she's like embarrassing
herself. Salma Hayek was.
Yep.
I was watching that.
Yeah.
Hartford in it.
Yeah. And then she watched the TV show, and then her life was
or something happened that like no one could find out. Something had happened, and they were like broadcasting. They're like, "Oh my god! Like they're gonna see it." I just had this conversation, whatever type shit.
Exactly, and that is crazy as fuck. But like, it's 2024, so maybe imagine in 10 years how fast technology is advancing. That's kind of crazy, huh?
Well, the other Black Mirror episode was these two guys. They're two friends, right? But then they play this video game. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't see that one.
So let's say, I'm just using y'all as an example.
Okay, sure.
So let's say y'all are friends, you're playing your video game at your home, you as well, but you guys play like, I don't know, it was like the equivalent to Mortal Kombat.
Sure.
Right? But you guys are in VR, right? So you guys are actually in the game, and like you feel like the punches, and you guys feel everything, right?
And I'm fighting him.
And you're fighting him, but in the game.
Okay.
Yeah, so you guys pick your character, whatever, right? And obviously, in these Mortal Kombat games or whatever, the women are typically like robust and good looking and whatever, right? Yeah. So like all of a sudden, they're fighting, right? And then like they get into like this awkward fucking like wrestling position, and then they end up fucking
the
characters. But like in the real world,
they're fucking too.
No, like y'all are you. So like you guys are having sex with each other in the game, right?
And I'm but feeling
mentally,
it.
Mentally, you're still you.
What?
So I'm feeling I'm fucking him.
Yeah.
Or he's fucking me.
I don't know, whoever it is.
But
no one's fucking.
Yeah, but we're fucking. You're at home, you're connected to your VR. You're feeling everything as is. So technically you're hooking up with your best friend, but in the game you're hooking up with like this hot
chick.
Why
would you be fucking if it's Mortal Kombat?
It's Black Mirror, I don't know.
What the fuck?
I don't know if I want to watch that episode.
Because you can basically do whatever you want, right? But the concept is like you lose like the distinguishment of like, you know, like on the other side of this character is your boy that's at home. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So like, then they see each other like face to face, like they're boys after having just done that, and they're super awkward now because like
they fucked.
But in the game,
it's not. I'm not looking at Chris. I'm looking at a
character.
Like of some.
But I'm feeling it.
Yeah, and you guys could even be having a conversation too. Like in the game, right? So you could be like, "Yo, did you go to the gym today?" And then like 5 minutes later, y'all are having sex.
That's crazy. I'll probably skip that episode.
I don't want to watch that one. Thanks, but thanks for the suggestion.
Thanks for the recap. We're gonna have to close it out. Yeah,
I do want to start to wrap it up. I did, however, I had this that I sent it to you the other day on Reddit.
Oh yes, please.
I would like to. Wait, what is this? Has a minute. Damn, wait, no, I can't find it now. The one that I had sent you. The bikini picture one.
That one?
Disagreeing on bikini photos. Isn't that the one that I sent you?
You sent me... that is the one you sent me.
No, but it doesn't let me open it anymore.
About, like, your girl posting bikini pictures? Let me
see. Yeah, but I think something happened. Oh, I got it.
I got it, too.
Okay, I'm going to ask.
Go ahead.
It's got some good movement. So, my girlfriend and I are disagreeing on if bikini photos are a thirst trap and if posting them is okay if I can't like another girl's bikini photo. What are your thoughts? Context. My girlfriend's cousin recently got into a big fight with her boyfriend for liking another girl's thirst trap. My girlfriend is agreeing that it was wrong. And while I didn't disagree, I brought it up that she has multiple bikini photos posted in the last few months. I have never brought up issues with the photos before. It ended up becoming an argument on if it was okay to post bikini photos if she wouldn't like me to like another girl's bikini photo. I have never liked another girl's thirst trap / bikini photo. She is saying I am insecure, but I feel like I just want some consistency. Edit. I asked if she would want me to like the same photo, but if it was a different girl, the answer was no. So is it weird for me to not think she shouldn't be posting it then? Also, I didn't have an issue with the pictures posted, but the mindset didn't sit right with me. Am I just thinking too much into this? Edit 2. I'm not trying to like other girls' bikini photos. My argument is that the photos are a thirst trap because she wouldn't want me liking the exact photo but with a different girl in it. Then, if it is a thirst trap and it is not okay to like thirst traps, is it too much to expect to not post the thirst traps? I'm just looking for input on whether it is an insecure / controlling thought or a reasonable line of thinking. So, long story short, too long, didn't read. The guy's like, hey, you're telling me I can't like these girls' bikini photos, but all your shit is bikini photos. What's going on? What's fair?
It's like a loaded question.
I think so. Let's unpack it.
Well, because the thing is, like, if you're in a relationship, I understand, like, the girl is posting the bikini picture and she's putting her picture out there. But I feel like also from the guy's perspective that you're going out of your way to interact with someone else's picture. You know what I'm saying?
By like liking it, giving it like an approval, or
yeah, like you're saying it's like I don't listen. It's like saying I like you to a girl, or like you look good to another girl while you're in a relationship, in the real world, right? Mm. Like you're still sending that same intent, but like on social media. You get what I'm saying? So like you're in a relationship, and as a guy, you're liking the picture, and like you want her to see that you like the picture.
That you approve of it.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Why else put the like?
Right. Right. Why else do it in the first place? I understand the other argument that like why post a picture? Like you're allowing other guys to see you, and like you're getting the validation, and guys are liking your picture, right? Yeah. But that's her posting the picture, and then that's being the end of it. If she were to then interact with the guys that are liking or commenting or sending DMs, that's when she's like going beyond just posting a picture, and she's actually entertaining the guys. You get what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like even us, like, let's say we put like a gym picture, right, or something that's like a little bit thirst trappy. Especially, we're not necessarily like going to be interacting with. We're not going to be interacting with any woman if we're in a relationship.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying? We're posting the picture because like we feel good, we like the picture, and we want to share it for whatever self-validating reason we want. You know what I'm saying?
I can see that because look, especially you've made some amazing progress. Let's say, you know, you go to the beach. Somebody's taking a picture, you look really good. You're going to post it because you look really good. You're at the beach, you're having a good time. It's not a thirst trap.
My only thing is because so I'm trying to get more into the fitness space. And I want to bridge that gap with how we started talking of like healthy relationships starts with yourself, taking care of your body. So I'm like this year I made a really big like kind of shift into posting more of like what I'm eating, my health, my fitness, my transformation. So at that point, that's where I'm posting, shirtless pictures, but it's not like I'm posting them like look fucking, you know, like I'm not there trying to pose. I'm there like, dude, like look at the before and after. That's what I'm posting, you know?
Right. I mean, obviously you're not gonna fucking be like make fucking facial expressions, but you're still posting shirtless picture. So if Christina were to post the same thing, would you say it's a thirst trap?
Well, I mean, the thing is, if I'm trying to create really a value system to people to show, specifically with fitness, that makes sense. Christina's a photographer. Yeah. She shoots pictures of weddings, and she's trying to promote herself as a wedding photographer for couples. Why would she be posting a bikini picture?
But if she goes, but she's cause if she's at the, like on if she's at the beach. And if someone takes a picture, that's not a thirst trap.
We live in Miami, so I get that. But if, let's say, for example, every single day, like, she's not going to the beach, but she's posting pictures of her in bikinis every single day.
Yeah, there has why? To be, I mean, I understand that regards, yeah, but that's if somebody was posting every day, I'd find that a little bit weird, too. Yeah, but
it's like, you're not even at the beach every day. You're not even at the beach this morning. Right, why are you posting a picture of you?
But we're not. But that's not the question here. Like, it's
like liking versus posting, right? So, like basically, he wants to be allowed to like the picture if his girl is posting bikini pictures, right? Where I feel like sometimes girls will just have a cute bikini on and they want to show it, right? And I mean, look, at the end of the day, it all stems back to, like, who are you dating?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're posting, like everybody posts for themselves because you get validation. No matter who you are, no matter what space you're in,
sure,
it's self-validating. Otherwise, you just wouldn't post it at all. You'd keep it to yourself if it was actually for yourself, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with like wanting validation from other people, right? Like if it becomes too obsessive where you're constantly wanting validation from other people, that's a different story. But if you're feeling confident and you know, you look good in your body, you've been putting in some effort, or you have a nice fit on, you want to showcase it. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong. Once it becomes a little bit excessive, if it's like every day, then that's when it becomes wrong.
I agree. But ultimately I think the moral of the story is, I guess if he's not allowed to like other girls' bikini pictures, but again, should she be able to post said bikini pictures?
I wouldn't have a problem with my girl posting bikini pictures. It's whatever happens beyond that, that would start to bother me. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because like it's the intent. It's why are you posting the picture? If I'm with a good girl, my mind is not going to go to, oh, she just wants attention from men. Mm-hmm. I'm automatically going to assume based on the part of that I want, right, that she's just posting a picture because she feels good, she likes what she's wearing, and she wants to showcase it. And I understand the exchange that happens when you post a picture and you receive likes. You feel good about it, right? So why would I want my girl to have like a little moment of feeling good? You get what I'm saying? But if it's constantly, like, she feels like she has to be posting stories and posts. It doesn't even have to be a bikini picture. Pictures in general. You know what I'm saying? If it's becomes, like, too much, then that's where I'll be like, okay, it's like, is my word not enough? Is me calling you beautiful not enough?
Who are you trying to signal and wave down? Like,
exactly.
Whose attention are you trying to get?
So it all depends on, like, who you're dealing with and what the intent behind posting the picture is. But wait, hold on. What about you, though? You didn't answer. What's your opinion?
I think Chris made a good point where he says, like, if it's, like, an everyday thing.
Yeah.
And you said the same thing. Like, if my girl posts, like, pictures every day, bikini pictures every day, it's like, what are you trying
or
to
like,
do?
Or, like, what if she only posts bikini pictures?
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, unless she's a bikini
model.
Not every day,
but let's say, for example, when was the last time you posted a picture?
It's been a little bit. If anything, it would have been, like, maybe with a friend or something.
Okay, so then let's say that every so often when you do want to post a picture, it's you shirtless.
That'll be kind of weird.
Right, and I think that's I'm hoping that that's kind of what he means.
Yeah.
Where it's the guy, where it's almost like, listen, like, I get it, but, like, why are you posting it? Like, is it posting it because, oh, man, you like the bikini and you were there at the beach with your friends? Or, like, why is your ass showing in this picture type shit
all the time? Now if we're on vacation and nice picture, you know, beautiful, whatever the fuck you want to post it, of course I would post a picture too, me and my fucking, you know, swimwear. Like, I don't think that's anything wrong with that. But again, if it's like a pattern and it's like, what are you trying to do here? But you made a good point where you said, like, oh, like, liking another girl's picture is different than if you're a girl and you're posting a picture, because you're posting it versus I'm actively fucking liking a girl's picture. What am I trying to do here?
100%.
But let me ask you this. Do you feel it's inappropriate for a girl who is in a relationship to wear, like, a G-string bikini or those bikinis that are very, very revealing, which at this point you could be even considered fucking lingerie, you know? Have you seen those?
It's funny. You see a girl, like, if you catch her just in underwear, she's like, don't look at me.
Yeah.
But then it's like, dude, your bikinis are smaller than that.
Yeah. Where it's like her whole fucking ass is literally just a fucking string of fucking fabric covering her asshole. Yeah. And then, like, the top is, like, fucking tits out and whatever. What are your thoughts on
that? Well, now it's even worse. Now it's like, it's like transparent straps.
Oh, I've seen that.
Transparent straps, and it's just like a little, like, little cups just, like, hiding it. It's at this point, you know.
It's like they're trying to wear less clothes.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. It wouldn't sit well with me, whether I'm there or not. Like, it's not like the best
it's not
position
the type of
to
woman
be in.
You would want
to
be.
Yeah. No, not at all.
You look for.
No, not at all. Like, I understand, like, if a bikini looks good, like, you want to wear it.
Yeah.
I don't mind if it's, like, a little bit revealing, but when we start talking about disappearing bikinis, then I'm like, put some clothes on.
Why is it transparent?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All
right, so I do want to wrap it up, right? Yeah. So for those who aren't aware, we created a card game a little while ago, and basically we call it The Basics. Essentially, it's questions that you should probably ask early on in the relationship. And if you've been dating someone for a while, there's some questions that there are answers to the questions that you should probably know by now, if you really think that this person is for you. So I put some aside, some questions.
Sorry, I got behind the scenes. Go ahead.
I put some questions aside. Some questions are very specific to relationships with you and your partner. In fact, we've played it here with our boys. Just kind of overall, just to really dive a little bit deeper of who they are as people, as their character, their personality. So I put some aside that I think are going to be fitting for I guess the kind of conversations that we're having. So I'm going to take it off the top. You mind if I throw some at you? They're fair. I'm not going to throw some bullshit at you. Question number one. Do you have any deal breakers? Things that would make you seriously reconsider your relationship? A relationship?
Yeah. If a girl has a lack of empathy.
Really?
Yeah, that's a deal breaker for me for sure.
Why?
If you're not able to have empathy towards, like, let's say, for example, I put in the same line if she talks, like, bad to the waiter, or she treats people based on how they look or what their situation is. Like, if you're not able to empathize with someone's, like, situation, and you're not able to, like, kind of, like, try to put yourselves in their position to try to understand where they're coming from, that I can't do, because that means you're not going to be able to do that with me. If I'm having a bad day, you're not going to be, like, you're going to, like, keep dumping your bullshit onto mine, even if I'm the one who's having a bad day. You get what I'm saying?
So a lack
of empathy is definitely a deal breaker for sure.
What about for you, dude? I don't even know if I've asked you. We probably have.
If I have any deal breakers?
Yeah.
If I wasn't, like, in a relationship or in general?
Well, the question is, Do you have any deal breakers? Things that would make you seriously reconsider our relationship? That's the question. But overall, in AA relationship.
Of course, yeah. Certainly, I do have deal breakers. I think just being overall being compassionate, being understanding, I think it's a big one, because there, in a perfect world, you know, there's it's black and white, whatever, but I don't feel like relationships are perfect, and I don't think it's always going to be black and white. Sometimes there's a little bit of a gray area, and so I think,
what is it, there's a thing called life that
right
happens,
yeah, like, life happens, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so you have to be understanding, and and I'm very fortunate enough to be with somebody who is understanding and who can kind of empathize and kind of see and say, hey, I know what's going on right now. So like right now I'm on a grind working x amount of days. I know my partner understands because sacrifice that we're currently doing, that we're going through, so she understands, she's understanding. If I was with somebody who wasn't like that, or if I started dating somebody who doesn't have those qualities, that would make me seriously reconsider, I think.
Yeah, dude, for me it would be effort. Okay, like, I'm big on effort, dude. Like, I don't even give a fuck well, obviously, if you fuck up to a certain degree, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think if you don't do something, or like bro, just fucking try, bro. Yeah. Just fucking try. I think that gets you a lot further than if you just didn't. And it just goes for everything. I think people, they're just kind of waiting for things to fall on their lap, or they're just kind of looking for something, but then there's really no, like, all right, action to do it. Like, you know, if you want something, you got to go after it. You got to go get it. And if you can't do it, like, find ways, put systems in place, or find an opportunity, do something, you know? And I feel like if as long as you try, whether you fail, dude, you're a lot further up on achieving whatever it is that goal was, or whatever it is that had to be done, than never starting at all. And that's why for me, dude, just like effort is like the number one thing. I got two more. We'll do it really quick. How long do you think people should wait before having kids? What do you think is a kind of, I guess, like a benchmark? And it doesn't really have to be like, oh, we've been dating for 3 years. Yeah. It could be like a monetary, which maybe I would assume you would probably take that approach.
Yeah.
You think there's a monetary...
like having X amount of money to...
How long do you think people should wait before having kids? What do you think?
You ask me first?
Why not?
Okay,
switch
like
it up.
I don't know either.
Give you some time to
I'm gonna pick off your answer.
Gather your thoughts. So I feel like
I'm helping you out.
I think certain variables, age matters and stuff like that. But let's say for the general aspect, I think at least 2 years. At least 2 years is a good benchmark, especially like an our age still. You know, if I'm 20, but then again, if I'm 21, I don't think 2 years is enough. But let's say for our age, I think 2 years is a solid step. And how expensive everything is, I feel like I would like to say, make sure your ducks are all in a row. If you're not financially ready to have kids, I know they say, oh, you never be ready, all that bullshit. I understand you never actually be ready. Mm-hmm. But you could be more ready, right? So Claudia was asking me the other day, he's like, oh, when are we going to start having kids? And I'm like, not anytime soon. Not anytime soon. Don't even get me with this bullshit. Because right now, like, the life that we're living, it's really focused on paying off. Like, we have goals that we want to achieve. And I'm like, once that is achieved financially, that are realistic, I'm not saying we have to have a fucking $1 million, but let's get our debts in order. So when we do have kids, you can stay home. Like, let's plan it out. What is the kid going to look like? It's going to be pregnant. If you don't feel well, you might not be able to work. If you're not going to be able to work, I'm going to be the only one who's going to have to work. If I'm the only one who's working, I have to work a lot. Mm-hmm. How is that going to look like? How much money can I possibly make in order to sustain the both of us? So I like to approach it in a very logical way. And so I'd say you have to at least have your debts paid off, have a little bit of a safety net, make sure that one parent could stay at home for at least the first year.
Yeah.
And if the numbers make sense, then then you can. I think that's when you can start having kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Know?
That's my thoughts. A little bit more.
What he said.
Copy paste.
No, dude. No, this is what I'm realizing now, because we don't have kids. Do you have children that you know of?
No.
Okay. Well, you know of. I'm thinking this. It's if you're gonna start dating someone, I think that you should probably immediately start planning for kids. And I say that because I think that when we're older, because everyone who's older who has children, they all say have as many kids as you can. Like that's like the purpose of life. Like, because then when you're in your deathbed or when you're older, the only people that are really going to give a fuck about anything that you've ever done are the people, like your loved ones, your family, your children, right? I think that, and I'm not saying start preparing for it, like, oh, maybe we should start, talk. But it's almost like, okay, we're dating. This is serious. What needs to happen for us to have children. Okay, well, we need to pay this off. We need to do this. We need to do that. If you create a plan from the get to then have that in 2 years, because I had a conversation with my girlfriend the other day where she's like, listen, like, I'm concerned because we're, like, I'm not going to work for a couple months when I'm, you know, especially when I'm pregnant or when I have the children, like, I need to. So I'm like, okay, well, I think what makes sense is, because she's like, well, what's going to happen in the future? Like, we don't know. Like, we'll never know, right? But I think if we had at least a safety net of saving a certain amount of money, like, maybe there's a budget that we have to allocate for. That way, like an emergency fund.
Yeah,
so literally. When you have children, okay, well, we have that as the backup in order for us to make sure that everything will be fine. And I think you just planning for that, because if you never plan or you just say, oh, yeah, in 2 years, I think will be a good time to start having children. 2 years comes, life happens, and you don't plan for it. It's like, well, okay, we said 2 years. What are we doing?
Yeah.
It's kind of the business that I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, okay, fuck, like, now we gotta fucking get shit in order, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So, and that's where I'm at right now, where it's like, okay, well, what we got to work towards something. Because working towards having children, that can mean anything. But working towards the preparation, that way when the children do come, I think that that's where you're being in a bigger position.
Yeah,
for sure. I think that you should at least have at least like a 2 year kind of like, okay, well, what does that look like, right? What do we need when we're going to have children? What's important?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's have that in place. And then we can move forward to it. Because if you never plan, then 2 years comes and then life happens and you don't have anything planned. Do we delay or do we just have it in the situation? And then we're kind of like, fuck.
But man. Yeah, 100%. No, you're making sense. But also it's you have to know, especially when you first start dating somebody, is this somebody that I can raise kids with? Because people, like, they want to figure things out when the fucking baby's there. Like, we talked about this religion, you know, school.
Vaccination.
Like all those things that no one really thinks about until it kind of happens. Like, there are certain things you can compromise on. A lot of things you should compromise, have to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain core things that you cannot compromise. And if you look at somebody and you say, well, I wouldn't want my kids to be like this, then why the fuck are you going to have a kid with this person? Yeah. So that's the first step. Because if I can't see you being the mother of my children, then this relationship is fruitless. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Like, if you're a woman and you feel like, would you want your son to be like your partner, like your husband, like your man?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
All the planning in the world is not going to fucking get you there. But yeah, great feedback.
Amazing. Response. Yeah. So I kind of don't want to run out of time because I feel like the camera is probably going to start.
Yeah. So with us, we're shooting very high resolution, about an hour and 40 minutes. Camera's going to cut up and overheat.
So with that being said, it is time to break up, Sergio.
Yes.
Not you. It does. So, yeah. You know, things happen.
I'm used to it.
Yeah.
It's not the worst breakup.
No. So with that being said, we usually like to end with a final thought. So that kind of final thoughts could be anything that you'd like to say to your younger self, or maybe a message that you're really passionate about that you just want to share with the world. We're going to have you do that. Say whatever you want to say, and then where they can find you.
You know what? Honestly, I think people should just, you know, since they've made it to the end of this episode, just take the time to call someone, tell them that you love them.
Damn.
Simple as is. I mean, you know, when's the last time you spoke to your brother, your sibling, your best friend, your mother, your father? Have a conversation with them. Mm. Ask them what's up. Ask them how they're doing, you know? And that's pretty much it.
That is actually, damn.
Dude. Pretty good, actually.
That's actually, like we'll clip that one. Too. I think that's important.
We'll make it a point.
But now, so where can they find you? Any last little tidbits?
Sergio Talks for my personal, Sergio Talks podcast for the podcast itself. And then also you guys can follow my co-host too. And now my ex-boyfriends.
Because we broke up. This guy.
I like that.
With that being said, thank you very much, everybody.
See you guys.
Sergio.
Adios.
Thank you guys. Ciao.